Today is a great day for a car wash.
Yeah, sure. Car wash. This is the car wash on the SL podcast. Sizohlangana khona.
Good day and welcome to the car wash. This is episode number 62. On today's show, is Peter Mosemane worried about his job? How should Chiefs approach their CAF Champions League tie against the Giants Wydad? And we look at Dylan Kerr in talks with TTM and a whole lot more, including signings of the window. I, of course, am your host, Slu Paho. Whether you are listening to us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, or Mahikeng 96.7 FM's Game Time, welcome to the show. I, of course, am not alone. I am joined by former Ajax Cape Town and Mamelodi Sundowns goalkeeper, Mr. Sean Roberts. How are you doing?
Hello, my boy.
How you doing, bro? And we also have legendary Bafana Bafana midfielder, former Pirates and Sundown star himself, Mr. Teko Modise. How you doing?
Hey, Slu. How are you, Chief?
I am half dead, but that's just because I ran out of coffee. But I'm not the one telling the jokes at the beginning of the show. We leave that to the man between the sticks himself. Sean, what you got?
Here we go. Did you hear about the guy who invented the knock-knock joke? He won the Nobel Prize.
Oh. I don't know where I thought that was going, but that actually, yeah, I didn't see that.
I can still hear Teko laughing. This is a good one.
Man. It's too early for your Sean.
Far too early. We come to you. So it's 8:30 for us right now. We of course love to be here, and we start off the show with pole position. Pole position is where we jump on Facebook and we ask our listeners and our readers a question and ask them to send their voice notes in. This week, it's an interesting one. You know, when Al Ahly played against Bayern Munich, most people didn't realize when they lost, that was his first loss as Al Ahly coach. But Egypt is a fickle place, especially if you play for the club of the century, and you could get fired for drawing a match that side. So he's apparently coming under a bit of pressure despite his success so far. And so we asked you guys, do you think Peter Mosemane himself is worried about his job, is what you had to say.
When it's come to Peter Mosemane and situation, I don't think that he must think about losing his job or to run away or to panic, you know. Because if you are comparing Bayern Munich and Al Ahly, there is more difference. Bayern Munich has quality players, has good players who have matured compared to Al Ahly. No, I'm not saying that Al Ahly players are not matured, but when it comes to standard, good players are in Bayern Munich because we know that they are the best players. Bayern Munich is the best team in the world, you know. So I think management of Al Ahly, they must not think about to fire Peter Mosemane. No, I don't think it's gonna be a good idea. And that is a first lose for Al Ahly. No.
There you have it. It's an interesting case. I want to pick your guys' brain about this because I feel like for any other club, almost in the world, Pizzo would at least have another 6 months guaranteed, right? But it feels like I keep seeing reports out of Egypt that, you know, Al Ahly looking for other options, or, you know, disappointed with league performances. You know, they've drawn a couple matches, sure. But Bayern Munich, literally the best team in the world, that was his first defeat as their coach. And so I ask you guys, would the notoriously harsh Al Ahly be too harsh here to fire Mr. Peter Mosemane? I think I know the answer, but I'm gonna ask some further questions.
Yeah, I mean it's for sure. I mean if that actually happened, then I don't know, Slu. I give up. I mean, I actually didn't know that was his first defeat, so thanks for pointing that out. But that's impressive stats. I mean, to lose 2-0, I think it was 2-0, wasn't it? To Bayern, is it's not like, oh my pizza, what are you doing? It's, oh my pizza, well done, you lost 2-0 against the best team in the world. Here we are on the African continent, you know. But if they fire pizza, then yeah, I don't know. I'll take up ballet.
All right. Let me ask you a follow-up question here. If it were to happen, because now I'm realizing that a lot of European sides and a lot of, like, you know, world teams got the chance to see Bitso coaching a team at the FIFA Club World Cup. I think Kaká even praised Al Ahly's performance despite the loss. And so, do you think even if Al Ahly did fire Bitso, that he would have a few more job offers on the table now?
Well, let me tell you, this Bitso is not stupid. Bitso knows this is the step to the next step. Mm-hmm. So whatever happens to Al Ahly, Bitso is not coming back to South Africa. I guarantee you. Next move for Bitso is abroad, whether it's Europe, whether it's wherever, but we know his quality. The world is starting to understand his quality now, and this is all in the big plan for Bitso. That's my opinion. Teko, what do you think?
He's stepping, just like our kid.
In the name of love.
I'm telling you. Look, Slu, I think there's a lot of issues surrounding the media, especially in football in Egypt. It's always been the case.
Yeah.
You know, the media always starts things first, especially if they don't like you. But if you also remember when Peter got there, so many ex-players, you know, they thought that they deserved the job.
Mm.
They thought that they could do better. Why Peter? You know, if you know, it's one of those things that people actually said about Juventus. You know, there's no competition to get there. You've got all the material to win. I think that was said about Peter as well.
Yeah. Mm.
But yet again, he continued and did his job. So for me, I don't think it will be a smart move for the team, for Al Ahly to even think about that. You know, they just probably maybe now they need to be in conversation of how do we beef up the squad. Yes, this is a defeat to Al Ahly to Bayern Munich. I was watching the game, but also it's a defeat also that can teach you something as a team. So therefore, maybe you might think that the certain department I was good. Maybe not. Now you can think of adding more numbers into the team so that you can be better. Because now you're not thinking Africa anymore. You know. Mm. So you so it can be better. But yet again, they came out and said they have an ambition to finish third. You know. And let's see how they do that, you know, today. But yet again, but for me, I think Al Ahly wouldn't be, that would be stupid. But if it does happen, Bitso always has a contingency plan, and Bitso will forever be around big trophies, big teams. That's where he wants to be, whether it's a national team wise or team, but that's where he's gonna be. So I don't think Al Ahly will be thinking about Bitso leaving the team anytime soon.
Yeah, you know, I would tend to agree, and the only reason why this story really struck a nerve with me is because I guess the point of pride for Al Ahly is the league itself, and right now Al Ahly sit 5 points behind Zamalek, but they have two games in hand, which means that they can easily make it up, and they're still unbeaten in the, and so I'm just sitting here going, you know, I hate to bring it up, and we don't get too political on this show, but we had to point it out when he was hired that he was the first black African coach.
Yes.
Do you think that there is a racial component to these rumors that are being spread about, obvious, you know, maybe they let him go?
Obvious.
Obvious. Obvious. There's look, you must understand also that how many, it's very rare to find, to get into a situation where you find a player from Egypt coming to South Africa and play, right? And even that transition as well from South African players to actually go to Egypt and play and really, really play, like stay there and play. You know, there's always that cultural differences and there's always a challenge. Mm. But also there's level of also the skin color. It's there, whether you speak about it or don't. But it's just that it's something that in football people don't want to speak about. There is a lot of racism in football. Mm. But it's just that we don't speak about it. But for me, I don't think we should be speaking about racism with Al Ahly and Bitso because of the rumors. But I feel like for the fact that now he's the first black coach to actually coach the team, there's a lot of changes that is happening. Lot of changes for actually him to be allowed to bring his own people to bring into the team and still continue succeeding. There's a lot of, which means there's a lot of changes that's happening. So we need to give credit for Al Ahly for that, for allowing one of our own to be able to coach one of the big teams or the biggest team in Africa.
Yeah, you know, that is a fascinating aspect of the whole thing as well. that surprised me. You know, usually when you bring in a head coach, there's a different process in terms of the backroom stuff, but they gave him some control, bringing in Kevin. And so that was a really nice touch. And so that's why I think that they also have to kind of give him a bit more time. You don't bring a team up from, you know, a team of coaches up from a different country and then send them all home and have to rehire. Like, it's just a contractual nightmare. So I don't know why, you know, unbeaten. You know, if you lose to Bayern Munich, guys, it's what do you want me to do here? Like, yeah. It's Bayern Munich.
Yeah.
You know, if you're Real Madrid and you lose to Bayern Munich, you consider it a not so bad loss. You know, it's just like, it's Bayern. But anyway, we digress. sticking with African teams, Giants in this continent. I wanted to ask you guys, Chiefs will face Wydad very soon. And this is the same Chiefs. We're going to talk about it a bit later, but, Richards Bay, in the GLAAD Africa Championship got the best of this Chiefs team. And Wydad ain't no joke. So if you are Gavin Hunt, and you can't play a game with your tail between your legs, you have to, you know, put up a fight of some kind. How do you approach this tie against Wydad? You know, from a mentality perspective, let's say first, before we talk, you know, tactics on Chiefs part, but from a mentality point of view, how does Gavin get the troops ready for Wydad?
Sure. You know, Slew, it's such a good question. And this is what makes great coaches, is how you get your players out of the slump that they're in, you know. And I'd hate to be in that change room right now, to be honest, and feel that energy, because I can tell you, and Teko would know about it, is how that energy would be. And you know, and we've spoken at length about the strong personalities that Chief have, and I'm hoping that they are lifting the boys up and not the opposite, because that really can happen, that the opposite does happen. So, you know, the Chiefs faithful need something to cheer about. I hope that Gavin goes into this game like it's a final. I think every game now needs to be a final, because that loss to Richards Bay was, as Gavin put it, the worst defeat in his 27-year coaching career. So this has to be a final for Chiefs.
Let me quickly follow that up. I'm reminded of the AFCON for some reason, when we came up against a Salah-led Egypt and everybody wrote us off. Do you think that maybe that underdog mentality that pushed Bafana to beat Egypt could be the same sort of fighting spirit that Chiefs could show against the Wydad?
Yeah, again, Slew, I mean, we say Kaiser Chiefs and underdog in one sentence. It should never happen. It should never be there. But in this instance, I mean, yeah, for sure they're underdogs, but it's not okay that we're saying these things, Slew. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So,
that's true.
Yeah, it's we should never be saying Kaiser Chiefs and being an underdog. It's just, it's not okay. So, however you want to word it, this is a final for Kaiser Chiefs, without a doubt.
First leg in the group stage. What a final.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, how do you think Chiefs should approach this one?
I think you would, firstly for me, I would say you need to prioritize and approach the game differently than how you approach any game within the PSL. When you're playing with that, you're going to fight for your life, and the question is, do you have enough personnel to be able to fight? Do you want to win the Champions League? Do you want to go all the way up? I think those are the questions that I have for Kaizer Chiefs, because that, by knowing the answers to that, then I'll know exactly how to approach the game. Because most teams don't want to play Champions League, because now you know, you've got so many games behind in the league, you come back, the schedule is too tight. It's a lot of stuff. So there's a lot of things that just go into Champions League. The traveling, it's a nightmare. So for me, my question will always be, if Kaizer Chiefs want to go all the way, then they need to play. You know, they need to fight. They do have fighters, yes. They need to fight. You've got no individual fight and all that type of stuff. They do have fighters, yes. But if they don't want to, then play the younger guys and see. And then come back and then focus on the league. Because the truth of the matter is, they need to prioritize one trophy between the two.
Yeah.
At the end of the day. they're going to have to prioritize one trophy. The reason being is they don't have enough squad to be participating in both of them, especially on a higher level. If you get into semifinals and in Champions League, you need a squad.
Yeah.
Because when you come back this side, you're 5 games behind.
Yeah.
You're playing a catch-up on a Tuesday, you just landed on a Sunday. So there's a lot of things that happen in between. So I just hope that one day, okay, besides speaking about Kaizer Chiefs, just hope that one day they will make things easier for South African teams to actually be able to participate in Champions League and be enjoying.
Yeah, I mean, hence this is why, I remember Stan Matthews said that he hopes he doesn't finish top two or top three. Because
traveling is a nightmare.
Yeah.
And get there, you don't have a training pitch, but on purpose, you're just locking it, and then you have to outsource for yourself. Like, if you don't know, if it's your first time in those type of stages, then you need to ask those guys that have been there before. If you don't have that type of connection, trust me, you'll never enjoy any single day there.
Let me ask you this, and the reason I'm thinking of America is of course because of their recent Super Bowl, but I'm fascinated by the way that they do their Super Bowl, because America is a very large country, wide country, right? And they do it, they separate it by regional divisions first, and then the winners of those regional divisions come together for the final. Do you think that perhaps CAF should consider a system like that instead of making, you know, South Africans travel now to Algeria and back in the same week? You know what I mean? Would that work better?
Look, Slu, the challenge will be, do you really want to see Zamalek and Al Ahly in the first round of the Champions League? They wouldn't. You know, in football, yes, America, they've got a system that has been working for them for all this time. And also, you must understand, their transportation is accessible and easier than us here in the third world. In the third world, my friend, for you to go to Egypt, you must go to Dubai first to come back. You know, sometimes there's no straight flight to Egypt. Sometimes you can't even go to Cameroon, you must go somewhere to come back. So there's always going to be a problem. But also, if it happens, I think it's going to benefit southern countries like Zambia, us. You know, it's going to benefit us, because now we're traveling shorter distance, 3 hours to Zambia, we're back. We're able to concentrate on the league as well. But for the bigger picture, I don't think the big guys in Champions League, they want to see Zamalek and Wydad in the first week. I think that's where their money is, you know, because of the following, the numbers as well. But if it happens that it becomes regional, I think it's the people that are only going to benefit are southern countries.
Yeah, interesting.
Up next, we have the International News Desk. I am recording this one with one international news correspondent, Mr. Liam Becker. We're talking about some of Europe's biggest free agents. Why did my brain not remember that free agents? Here, have a listen. Me and Liam Becker talking about Sergio Ramos and David Alaba and what could be happening with Messi. I'm happy to be joined on the line by Sokola Duma, international correspondent. He also writes for Kickoff here and there. It's Mr. Liam Becker. How are you doing, Liam?
Hey, Sleep. Thanks for having me. Always good to be here.
All right. So we have a lot to talk about. You know, of course, there's a lot of football on, but we like to have some topics that stretch. And so we look forward to the next transfer window, where there will be quite a few interesting free agents. But we start with the Sergio Ramos Real Madrid situation. You let me know what's going on here. I mean, he's a club legend. It would be weird to see him play for a different team. But what's the reality of the situation at the moment?
Yeah, so Ramos is out of contract at the end of the season. Obviously, he's the club captain, as you mentioned, a club legend. And reports from Spain say that he's rejected extensions with the club, the one being a single-year extension and the other one asking him to take a 10% reduction on his current salary. He's gone and said no to both of that. And that's obviously set a lot of tongues wagging, and he's been linked with a whole bunch of clubs across Europe now. With some saying that he's already opened negotiations with them.
Would that club in question be Manchester United?
I believe so, yeah. So that's what the rumours are saying, is that Man United are the favourites to land his signature. And I think that would be a massive deal for them if they can get that over the line.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Sergio's 33, right?
34, turning 35 at the end of the season. But I think, obviously, his age is a bit of a risk for the club, you know, especially if they're going to be signing him on a longer-term deal, because he's rejected the short-term. So obviously he'd want something longer if he was to join United. But even at his age, he's one of the world's best, arguably. And United have had question marks about players like Victor Lindelof, Eric Bailly, Harry Maguire. So bringing in somebody of Ramos's quality, somebody of Ramos's experience, even would be invaluable for them.
And of course, you know, his experience at the highest level will perhaps also benefit those struggling centre backs. So that could be a big win-win. Now, what's interesting to me is who Real seems to be lining up as their replacement. What's this news surrounding David Alaba?
Yeah, so Ramos leaving for free potentially, and Real Madrid are looking to sign somebody else for free. So Alaba's contract is also out at the end of the season at Bayern Munich. And he's been linked to Liverpool. He's been linked to Paris Saint-Germain across Europe. But Real Madrid are the favourites to land his signature as well. So there's been a bit of back and forth with the contract negotiations, with them saying that he's the highest paid player. I don't know where they are along with that, but it looks almost certain that he's going to be moving to Madrid.
That's fascinating to me, because I never saw David Alaba as a centre-back. I always saw him as a left-back or a central defensive midfielder. Has he been deployed in this position before?
He has, and I think that's the thing with Alaba, is what makes him so valuable is his versatility. He started out as a left-back at the start of his career, and I probably his best or his favourite position, but over the years he's been used pretty much wherever the coach has needed him, including centre-back, and just because possesses and the versatility he possesses, it's sort of been a seamless transition for him to play in that role when he has. Real Madrid envisioned for him by approaching him, I'm not sure, but it makes sense if they're going to lose Ramos to then bring in Alaba as his immediate replacement. And I think in terms of quality, he definitely suits Real Madrid. He's that type of player who is definitely good enough to be playing in that famous white jersey.
And, you know, what's interesting about Alaba to me is he reminds me of a player who plays for my team, Arsenal, in Bukayo Saka, who's got this multi-positional, can play anywhere on the pitch, it seems like. But when I look at a guy like Sergio Ramos, he towers over strikers. And so I wonder if he'll fit the same role, or if Real Madrid are looking to change tactics. This should be an interesting one to watch. And of course, those are only two of the potential free agents that, ahead of the next transfer window. I mean, this, BBC, published this, kind of starting 11, the out of contract 11, and it's a heavy hitter of a team. So who are you most interested in looking at where they go? I know who's top of your list, but name me three guys who you're very interested in seeing what their moves are.
Yes, as you said, Lee, there is some massive names on that list. There's guys like Sergio Aguero, Julian Draxler, Gianluigi. The list goes on. Obviously, Lionel Messi at the top of it with his contract situation at Barcelona. We're all keeping a close eye on that. But I think the Aguero is one that interests me outside of that one. Obviously, Manchester City's all-time record goal scorer, the record player in the Premier League. He's not played much this season due to injury, due to COVID. And it doesn't look like he's going to be offered a new contract by City. So I'm very, very interested to see where he moves next. He's also past 30, but undoubtedly still a quality player. And it's not surprising to see him link with the likes of Paris Saint-Germain and even Barcelona recently. So I think that's definitely one to... And then Donnarumma, the AC Milan goalkeeper, touted as the long-term successor for Gianluigi Buffon. He's, of course, already replaced him in the Italian national team. He's been with Milan his whole... still in his early to mid-20s. Not really played Champions League football, so I think he, AC Milan are leading the race to win the Serie A at the moment, but if they don't do that, or at the very Champions League, I think he could be moving on. And then I think every club in Europe will be on high alert, because he's arguably going to be the next best goalkeeper in the world. So I think those three eye on Messi, Aguero, Donnarumma. But as you say, the list goes on. I don't think we've ever seen this many high-profile players who are free in the next transfer window.
Yeah, and I wonder what type of salaries they'll be able to negotiate, seeing as the clubs don't have to pay that transfer fee to begin with. And, you know, the thing about a guy like Donnarumma, for example, he's the most surprising inclusion on this list, specifically for what you said. You know, AC Milan are doing pretty well in the league this season. And you know who I thought of immediately? I thought, if Donnarumma ends up being a free agent, wouldn't Chelsea absolutely feel like they had the worst luck in the goalkeeping department if a guy like Donnarumma becomes available? Who do you support, by the way, Liam?
I'm a Liverpool supporter.
You're a Liverpool supporter. Is there any player on the out of contract 11 that you would want? Obviously, Wijnaldum, they selected him there, but is there any other player that you would want in a Liverpool shirt in that out of contract 11?
All right. Well, yeah, as you mentioned, Gini Wijnaldum being on that list is a big one for me, but want to try and get him to renew his contract. He's a very underrated, a very understated player for Liverpool, and I think his efforts are often underappreciated. So, most to try and tie him down to a new term deal. And then the next step would probably be to look at a defender. Liverpool have struggled this season with injuries to Virgil van Dijk, to Joel Gomez, and they did a bit of business in the January transfer window, but I don't think either of those were really seen as long-term replacements. If you look at that free agents list, or that potential free agents list, would probably be the one that stands out, whether Liverpool can compete with Real Madrid to sign him. I'm not. And then after that, it would probably be Ramos or Jerome Boateng, who are also Liverpool don't generally contract or do business with players at that age. So we'd sign any defenders from that list as much as the club needs them. So probably the only player who would fit the ball is a former Manchester United star, Memphis Depay. Very good player. He's had success with PSV Eindhoven, now enjoying in France. And I think if he becomes available, Liverpool could really bolster their attack with his signature. So with how that one would go down, you know, being a former United player and the rivalry of the club, he would be a really good addition to the squad.
Yeah, absolute scenes when Memphis Depay scores at Old Trafford against Manchester United. But yeah, I agree with your assessment there. I mean, Alaba, yeah, Ramos and Boateng don't suit, especially because I saw Liverpool were linked with Upamecano recently, who's a much younger and equally gifted centre-back. And then, you know, you look ahead, I'm sure there's a lot of guys who are listening going, why wouldn't you say Messi? But again, are you going to force Lionel Messi into that front three? A guy like Depay, it feels like he can be more of a backup to a Salah or a Mane, you know, logically speaking. Maybe he wants first-team football, but Liverpool are in so many competitions that there'll be plenty of opportunities. Whereas a guy like Messi, if you have a Messi, you play Messi every game. And so, you know. But, yeah, thanks. Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure to talk to you. Interesting stuff, and we'll be keeping an eye on this. Some of these contracts will be sorted before the window, and some of them will sign pre-contracts with new clubs probably before the window starts. So it will be an interesting thing, and we'll be able to revisit. But thank you very much, Liam Becker, for joining us on the show.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Lee. Thanks so much.
Onwards, we move to the Nedbank Cup, where we have to react to some... Oh man, what a round of fixtures. I mean, it was one of those where I felt an upset coming. I didn't know which one it was going to be. I actually personally thought it was going to be Utongati against Pirates, who might have an upset, but Pirates managed to win. But we start with the upset. Richards Bay. You know, it's, if you talk about KZN teams, not many people are throwing Richards Bay out first. But a 2-1 win over Kaizer Chiefs. You mentioned, Sean, that, Gavin said it was the worst loss he's ever suffered. And this is a man who lost an entire club last year. So, I mean, it was shocking. Do you think it was a bit of complacency on Chiefs' part, or do you think that they were genuinely outplayed?
I mean, there's no way Richards Bay can outplay Kaizer Chiefs, but they just didn't show any oomph, any like hunger, any we are Kaizer Chiefs, we're going to win this cup, you know. It was, you know, and Gavin keeps on going on about the squad that he has, and I do agree with him, absolutely, but there is a squad there that came second in the league last season, like Teko has said previously. So the challenge now is, how do you get the best out of them? like because it's a 2-1 defeat to Richards Bay, and no disrespect to Richards Bay, kudos to them, congratulations. But as I said previously, now is how do you bounce back from that? What is being said in the change room now to go to Wydad to play there? And man, I don't know, Teko, I don't know, I don't have answers, man.
Teko, what was your response to this one? I do have a follow up question for both of you, but how did you react to the match?
Lou, I think for me, when the Kaizer Chiefs lost, and I say this with the respect, the TS Galaxy thing, it came back. The Baroka, like the history of Kaizer Chiefs losing to second division teams, it came back. And for me, I try to analyze what Kaizer Chiefs are going through, because then it was a shocker. When it happened, then it was a shocker. Now I understand, and you know what I'm saying. I understand. I mean, this has been the story of the season for Kaizer Chiefs. I mean, they're game 15 on the log in the league. They're game 15, and we're still speaking about what we said in game 2. So it's been the story of that for Kaizer Chiefs, and they just want to see where this thing will end, because I mean, I think they have their issues that they're dealing with. And like Shona said, even though there is still a team that finished second last season, they were a team last season. They're not this season. You know, that's why there's too many loopholes now. I wouldn't say that the Chiefs, there's division, but for the fact that younger players are showing signs of trying to carry the team. You know, I think what happened last season with KZG affected so many players, even the senior players themselves. They're human beings.
Yeah,
so.
It's take on, and don't forget that the Chiefs could have scored 4 or 5. Do you know what I mean? I mean, it's not like they don't have the chances. So, you know, let's not forget that. Also, in TNT's stupid red card, I mean, do me a favor. I mean, how do you make stupid tackles like that? I mean, so yeah, it's just luck. It just doesn't seem to be on their side at the moment.
Sean, most of the games, okay, all the games that I've done for Kaizer Chiefs, whether they lost or they played a draw or even they won, I remember saying, now I understand Gavin's frustrations.
Yeah.
The chances that they have to score and kill the game.
Yeah.
You know, you know, my friend, that your roof is leaking. When you see it's a little bit cloudy, hey, put something there. You don't wait for the water to come in.
You know? I love Teko's analogies. He's the best at metaphors, bro.
Wow. Steve Compella Jr.
so bad. No, but you understand what I'm saying, Sean. Like, you know that you have problems. Kill the game and then manage the game very well. But also, Sean, that's what I'm saying. Like, not that I'm speaking, I'm against the players, against the Chiefs, coach. I understand the situation they're in. At the end of the day, they're human beings. But what I'm saying, because this is also this one of the things that, Sean, we spoke about that I think a long time ago, that, you know, in football, we don't have psychologists. We don't speak about those, the things that actually has to do with the mental stuff. We don't even touch them. We say now, we, when I say we, I'm talking about football fans. We look at Kaizer Chiefs like, but you finished second, last season. You can do it again. This is, you owe us. Not understanding that, hey, dude, at the end of the day, that person is a human being. You don't know what happened to him. You just a fan. You must understand that you're a fan. I'm the guy that has a contract that played 29 games on top of the log, my friend.
Yeah.
Last game, everything changed. And after that, once after losing that, tomorrow I must take my kids to school.
Yeah.
I must show face. I must do that. So people don't understand what it takes to be a professional footballer. So I understand the situation they're in, but I'm just hoping that, you know, this can be educational for so many teams. Guys, we need to put somebody like, in terms of psychologists on board, because when such things happen, it's not about form, it's about the confidence itself.
Sure.
It's not about form. We can't be questioning whether Lebo Manyama is a good player or not. I mean, really? Question that Kama is a good fit for Kaizer Chiefs. I mean, really?
Yeah.
It is one of those things, and another aspect of this that I think people are forgetting is that it's a cup. It's one of those crazy fickle things, a cup tournament. I've seen teams with dominant form in the league come into the cup super, super favorites against some underdog. I've seen English League One sides beat Premier League teams. Sure. You know what I mean? Like the cup competitions are a bit different, and I think it makes it tricky. Do you think that it's also just it feels like it's piling onto an already situation, but it's really just it's not. I think there was a couple other PSL sides that were knocked out, like top flight sides that were knocked out of this round. It's just that Chiefs did so much worse considering everything. Do you think that it's just that it's piling on, or do you think that this cup, do you think it's an overreaction is my question?
Is it an overreaction? Look, what the cup, like you said, what the cup brings you is the possibility of these sort of upsets. And the minute you step onto that field, you've got to be prepared to lose. And that's exactly what happened. So it's not an overreaction. It's Kaizer Chiefs. It's not an overreaction. It's they should not be losing to Richards Bay, full stop. And they should not be where they are in the league, full stop. We should not be talking about this in week 15 or 15 games left with the season. Like Teko has said, we're talking the same thing since game two. Like it should not be happening. So it's not an overreaction. No, absolutely not. But there is something very, very wrong that needs to be sorted out there.
Don't cry for me, Naturena. And we also had Sundowns versus Stellenbosch. This one, you know, Stellenbosch is one of those sides where I don't know which Stellies I'm going to get. You know what I mean? Sometimes they just put on a show, and, you know, against the Sundowns team, I mean, I think Shalulile, that was like 117th minute that he scored. So Stellies can't say that they were unlucky not to cause an upset themselves as well. What did you guys make of that one? 3-2.
I think that's a big statement that you said. Nedbank Cup, it can go anyway, but I think Sundowns were so superior. Their telepathic interpassing that they were doing was just something to behold. Shalulile again, fantastic. Lala K made it. Lala K's error that led to the goal. But I just never saw Stellenbosch winning that game, even though I did go to extra time. I thought Sundowns were absolutely magnificent.
Yay! Slupao. You know,
I'm gonna make that my message tone.
Look, it's a cup game. You're playing a defending champion. And you don't need any motivation. And I think that's what Stellenbosch were at. They had a game plan. We can't go pound for pound with Sundowns.
Mm-hmm.
You need to have a strategic plan that you try and utilize. And they did that. You know, to a certain extent, they looked a little bit like, you know, they can cause an upset. But yet again, you know, they were fresh because they didn't have most of the ball. Sundowns had most of the ball. And when it went to extra time, I felt like, okay, they might cause, because they missed a chance as well. I said they might cause an upset because they're a little bit fresher, you know? But yet again, when you so used to winning, you know how to win, that thing kicks in. You figure things out.
Yeah.
You know, and that has nothing to do with coaching. You tend to figure things out as a team. Like, you know, that's when your individual brilliance will come in. You know, you're relying on those type of things. And Shalulile, being Shalulile that he is, he Shalulile them.
Shalulile as a verb, would that mean like just outlasted entirely? No. Like too much stamina? Or is it just like too much skill?
No, Slu, we can't speak about stamina like it's something that is wrong. You know, that you're not supposed to have. So everybody at Sundowns have got their own different qualities. Shalili's quality, nobody at Sundowns has. And yet again, what I'm saying is Shalili now is starting to be that guy that Mamelodi Sundowns footballers can rely on. And I'm saying this because I play for the team. I understand that as a striker, as midfielders, you need someone that you can rely on. He might not score you 20 goals a season, but you need somebody that can rely on. The reason I'm saying is, look at the game that Shalulile scored in the last minutes. From Toyando at Leopards, you know, came back home. He's doing that. So he's a guy that when things are tough, Sundowns players will look at him like that. And as a player that comes from a smaller team, you need that type of confidence for players to accept you like that. Absolutely. And give you the type of responsibility. And that can...
Sorry to interrupt. I mean, you look at Shalulile and you automatically think, right, this guy is the first guy training. He's the last one to leave. He's probably the fittest guy on the pitch by a mile. I mean, you can just see it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's,
and I would argue, especially the way we talk about him, early favorite for player of the season.
Sure.
Hey, Chief, who's competing with him now?
By far.
Yeah.
Like, let's be honest, guys. Like, even if we have to speak about football of the year, and now let's if we have to speak about stats and be realistic, who?
No, there's no one.
Exactly.
There's no
one. The beast is a problem. Before we jump into just like discussing this Paris one quickly, Aiden, thank you very much. Our sound engineer has forwarded me some breaking news. So Kaiser Chiefs, we were talking about this just now. Kaiser Chiefs have been denied entry into Morocco by the Royal Moroccan Football Federation. And you know, it looks like their clash against Wydad is now set to be played in another country. And so it just adds another wrinkle to the situation because, of course, travel, we spoke about it, it's exhausting. Now they have to go to another place, probably do more testing there. It's just a whole thing. But anyway, just wanted to update on that story just so that you guys know. We keep in our ear to the streets, all right, you know?
Jeez. That's insane. I think we spoke about a couple of weeks ago that for all the youngsters listening that think that being a professional soccer player is just the best job in the world, and now you get stories like this where you've got to be jumping from country to country just to play a game. It can make it slightly depressing.
Do you remember the situation with Gabon where they landed in a country for a match and were just abandoned at the airport because of Cameroon? Yeah.
I think it was in Cameroon.
Yeah, like it's like there's a lot of extra stuff. That travel is no joke. I've had a 5-hour flight one time and got off exhausted. Imagine you flying now for 10 hours, bro.
But here's the thing with Champions League. It's, you travel in 3 days before the game, I think. Mm-hmm. You need to be there 3 days before the game. I think there's rules into it. You need to be in the country or at the venue or whatever the case may be 3 days before, just in case something happens. I don't know, you know? Because I used to question why we flying so early when we're playing Sunday, you know? Uh-huh. We can at least in and out, you know? But the thing is, it comes back to what I said earlier on. Do you really want to be to win the Champions League? Because these are the type of things that you have to go through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can't be moaning about it. The problem is right now, the situations, we countries, they've got their own rules now on how they're dealing with this coronavirus thing.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. Mm-hmm. And the chances are they might not have been told, or they might have been told that, hey guys, we're not going to allow you to come in because of 1, 2, 3, but because of FIFA rules. Or carefuls show up and let's see that they didn't allow you to go in, because also you don't want to be suspended, you don't want to be fined as well. But what I'm saying is this builds for me. It's not a nice thing to happen. Yes, and this will not sit well with any kids that you play, because now you have to travel another, you know, hours and hours and all that stuff. But for me, the experience that the younger ones are getting, it's bigger than anything else.
Sure.
This is big for Ngobos, for all the younger ones to understand and learn and understand that you can be a quality player and a good player, but you need to have that mental strength for you to be able to switch off all the noise outside and be able to play your game, because now officials are talking, we go in there, but how do you, as a footballer, you need to be able to switch off on the outside noise and be able to concentrate on the game. And that's And that experience and that energy, you can bring it back into the country and help you with it in the league, because you're able to switch off and focus on the game.
Yeah.
You know, I think that this experience that's happening right now might work well for KZC. Not now, but going forward, especially with all the youngsters that are there.
Yeah. And, you know, another aspect to this story, but I can't get into it now because I haven't read the full article and we don't know all the information is still breaking, but it's that COVID thing that you mentioned. Maybe these rules are different. Are we going to see some issues throughout this tournament with regards to countries differing COVID systems? It could end up being a bit of a situation, because remember last season we dealt with COVID with bubbles, and we can't do that now, and it could end up being a whole lot of shit. But anyway,
damn.
We go from there. Actually, wait, we're still on Nedbank Cup, because we have to talk about Pirates. So what is your guys' reaction to this? I mean, I watched this game and I saw kind of the same thing I've been seeing from Pirates, which is a lot of chances, you know, and not even hitting the target that much. So they had 14 shots, 3 on target, but dominated possession. Do you think that they are having some issues, just hitting the target, finding the goal? Even though it was Gabadinho Mahango who got onto the score sheet, last season's top scorer. But what did you guys make of the Pirates and Tsungati match to this one? I mean, I saw a lot of chances for Pirates, but not ones that were hitting the target.
Yeah, Slu, so just to echo you, for sure, they're creating the chances, which is great for sure. But it's a Nedbank Cup. I think they'll take the 1-0 every single time and just move on, put what happened behind them 100%. As Zimbabwe is saying, as he said, it wasn't the most convincing win for them, but they'll take it any day. I think the biggest concern for them was Mango's injury. As you know, they've got, is it La Pasa who's injured, and Mabasa as well. So if Mango's gone, they're going to be really struggling up front. But I think they'll take the win any day of the week. Was it convincing? Absolutely not. But yeah, move on to the next round.
Former Bucksman Deco, what did you make of the match?
Chief, it's a former Bucksman. I'm a former Sundowns player. I'm kidding.
You have a long CV, bro.
I think Pirates are trying to figure out things or figure out ways out to play with what they have. Because I think Pirates is not a team to play without a striker. They don't have the system. They don't have the personnel to play a false nine.
Yeah.
And they're trying to figure things out. And yes, we've seen they started that with Maritzburg, but Nedbank Cup, it's never nice to play those smaller teams early into the Nedbank Cup. Because now also, you haven't found your rhythm. Sometimes you're playing against teams that have never watched this team before. So you're going in there blindfolded. So it's very tricky, especially when you're a big team. There's always a chance of you guys losing because you're playing a team that is highly motivated, that knows you guys individually and your characteristics. So for me, like Shona said, a victory, my friend, even if it's a 1-0 that I scored with my knee, I'm taking it and I'm moving on. Because then you find more joy when you get to semifinals, you know, because that's when you play the guys, your teams that you normally have played with. Also, any team that plays that's in the semifinal, you've got clips, you've got videos that you can analyze from, you know? But for me, 1-0, I take it and move on. With or without Le Pasa and strikers, but I'm taking it and moving on.
Yeah, and before we move on to the next segment, I just want to say, I saw this news story yesterday for the first time that Joseph Zimbauer's son was involved in an accident in October last year and has been battling for his life ever since in a coma. I didn't know this. And so yesterday he was speaking to the media and he asked everybody to just for continued prayers and stuff for his son. So shout out Fabio Zimbauer, you in our thoughts and prayers. And Joseph himself, of course, it must be tough to push through and when your boy is going through something like that. So you guys are in our thoughts. Anyway, we real quick need to talk about Dylan Kerr, who is now in talks with TTM, who, I don't know, man, like I just, every time I read about them, every time I talk about them, there's like a small little headache that just in the corner of my head here that comes, because it's like Dylan Kerr, you know, if he's the right fit, he's the right fit. But this is a guy who was with Baroka last season, was with Black Leopards already this season and left. And now, you know, he's in talks with TTM, who of course are going through changes. I think they're the new owners and, you know, there's also more job losses expected there behind the scenes. But, let's start with Dylan Kerr. What do you make of him, you know, being in talks with TTM right now? They haven't like made anything official yet. And they're calling him a consultant, which come on. What do you think of the move?
Look, I'll tell you something. Dylan Kerr is a very, very good coach and very, very underrated. I'll tell you that much. We don't know what has happened. Well, I know Baroka, he was dealt a raw deal with what happened. This is after he tattooed their emblem on his leg. Don't forget.
Save them from relegation.
Save them from relegation. Black Leopards, you know something's happened behind the scenes. I think if TTM can land him, they've done very well. If TTM give him time, they will do very well. But I just see TTM being another chipper where if they don't get three or four wins on the bounce, he's gone. So, but what Dylan needs to be very, very careful of here, if he does go and he loses his job, it's going to be very difficult to get another jobbing football coaching job, that's for sure. So yeah, I think he needs to be very careful. He needs to make sure this is the right fit for him. You don't want to look desperate either as a coach. But if they say, right, we're going to give you 6 to 8 months, which they don't even have. So they'll be lucky to get Dylan. If they give him time, they will get results. He's a very good coach.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. And Thacker, as we pass it on to you, another thing that confuses me is why Dylan Kerr is jumping into the next one. Because if you're coming out of two cancelled contracts, surely you're still getting payouts from that. I don't know a lot about that, to be honest. What do you make of this move for Dylan Kerr, TTM? It's kind of racking my brain right now.
I like Dylan Kerr. He's a nice guy. But I think his ambition is to coach every team in Mpopo province. so he can move away and come to Gauteng and do the same.
Yeah, he's catching a nice tan up there.
I'm telling you. Look, one will never say TTM. I don't think there's anything that TTM will do right now, and I'll be saying that's a good move. Mm-hmm. Because there's so many things that are wrong that are happening there. For the fact that Dylan Kerr is a training, he's a consultant, and then the coach has been fired, and then who is in charge of the team? Mm. Ooh, and this is a team that now it's got new owners, you know. Guys, there's too many things about TTM. Like for me, is hopefully Dylan Kerr will sort things out, you know, will help them, especially on the pitch. Hopefully with the new ownership, players will play freely now and not think about if I'm going to get my salary or not. Because those are the conversations that we don't want to see, you don't want to hear, especially in the PSL. But also the thing is that TTM has assembled good players. How do you make those players become a team? And with Dylan Kerr, hopefully with 14, 15 games to go, they'll give him an opportunity. But it's very tough in the league when you know that it's 30 million at stake, you know, for the PSL status. So it's Dylan Kerr for the man to actually save TTM. But also, now that the players now, maybe they're more secure, they know that the salaries are coming, maybe they start playing freely and enjoying the game because they do have quality players. They do have players that can show up and win the games for them. But for me, it's that story that I'll wait for the end of the season to speak about.
Yeah. Unless CTM make headlines again next week, which I wouldn't put it past them at this point. We talk about them every week on this show. But from there, we move into this week in football history.
Today, we remember great moments from the past. We dive into the time capsule. Join us as we remember great moments from this week in football history.
This week, back in 1997, Chiefs defeated Celtic 2-0 in the Castle Premiership. The game in Bloemfontein was called off in the 40th minute, though, with the home side trailing Chiefs 2-0 due to crowd trouble. Kaizer Chiefs were given the result along with the 3 log points due to the trouble being instigated by the Celtic fans, which is an immediate forfeit for your team. Then this week, we'd like to wish a happy birthday to AmaZulu president Sandile Zungu. Sundowns defensive duo Rushen Deruk and Ricardo Nascimento, ex-Kaizer Chiefs keeper Brilliant Kuzwayo, and ex-Morocco Swallows captain Lifa Tutulupa. And then last happy birthday to this referee who I found. We were talking about this before the show. I've been trying to find his name for years and I finally found it. Happy birthday to Italian referee Pierluigi Collina, who was born in Bologna, 6-time World Referee of the Year award winner. And if you Google his name, you'll recognize him. Even if you don't recognize, you'll recognize that face. I'm telling you.
Yeah, man. He was the best. Man.
All right, so we've got some weekend predictions, but it's a bit of a wonky one this week. But I want to ask you guys about SuperSport United versus Cape Town City, which is on Saturday, and then Morocco Swallows versus AmaZulu.
What do we have? SuperSport Cape Town City, SuperSport playing at home. Yeah, I'm gonna go for a SuperSport win purely because Cape Town City lost, and it's going to be a tight game though. Both teams are playing some good football, but I'm going with SuperSport.
Deco, who you got in SuperSport versus Cape Town City? Your former team in Cape Town City also.
Those ones, my friend. But I think that defeat against the Lalo Pirates is humbling. I think they needed that. but they're also playing against a side that they know very well. And Cape Town City never struggles against SuperSport. It's always an interesting game, but they hardly struggle in terms of how they play, how they flow. So as I see a draw, because Cape Town, but also, well, SuperSport is from a defeat.
Yeah, they lose to TTM, right?
No, they lost to Celtics.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, Celtics showed them something they need to think about. And this is a Celtics that is still struggling, but dynamic. I know that, but here's the problem. Here's the thing. SuperSport, on the day, they can beat anybody. So, but I see a draw. Let me be safe. A draw from these teams.
Okay. Mm-hmm. SuperSport Cape Town City draw. And then we move on to Bloom Celtic versus Chipper United. This is a tough one to call for me. Sean, what do you think?
I'm going Bloom Celtic.
Bloom Celtic.
Yeah.
Convincing or 1-0?
I think it's going to be, I'd rather watch paint dry one of those games. but I'm going to go with a tight 1-0, 2-1 victory around there.
Deco.
Ish, I like Celtic. I'll give Celtics 1-0.
Celtic.
Yeah.
By the way, Maduka's still in charge of Celtic, right?
Just in case.
Hey. That's the thing. Hey, the thing, you know, he's probably going, I got you guys to 2 cup finals. Like, just please wait for me.
You know what, Slu, this, I understand what you said, but can I just correct you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, for 1 second. When you're a coach, you've got obligations. You know, there's certain things that you need to do in your contract, and winning is part of the things, mm-hmm. right? You don't win and say, but guys, I took you there. No, you pay. You're getting paid to win.
Sure.
So John took Celtics to 2 cup finals, yes, but he didn't win anything. He was paid to win.
He did his job.
He did his job. Yeah, so now when you come back and look at the contract, you look at the performance contract, you look at the game, you start analyzing. That's how the coaches are getting fired. It's because of the because they sign all this performance contract. And what is the performance contract? Looking at the results in 6 games, you lost 4. Ah, Chief, get out of here. And we know that you took us to the final, but you didn't win anything. So. Just to clear that out.
Yeah. No, I get what you're saying. And it's kind of that old adage. Would you rather be Jordan, go to 6 finals, win 6 times, or go to 10 finals and win 4 times? Yeah, as exactly. LeBron James. So anyway, that's a different sport altogether. Lastly, we have, and this is a fascinating fixture for me, a Valentine's Day matchup between Swallows and AmaZulu. I think we could argue that both of these sides are on a good run of form, especially Swallows, but AmaZulu have turned a corner in the league. That they have 3 wins on the trot. This is a tough one to call. Who you got?
I don't know what I got.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I think what Benny's done in such a short space of time, and they're on a high, they're doing well, but I think the form at Swallows are in, and if Hamildin is on form,
mm-hmm.
I'm going with the Swallows win, especially being at home.
Thank you, Sean.
Of course. So I suppose that goes in agreement then.
Yeah, squared. It's Swallows. Look, AmaZulu has won a couple of games, but look at how they're winning their games. They're not convincing. They're weak at last minute. They're fighting there. Benny's doing a great job. He's trying to change certain things. But Swallows is the train that is moving. So I think Swallows will win this one.
Teko, let me ask you a quick question.
Yes, sir.
You look at someone like Hamildin, who's literally come through the ranks from second division, first division, PSL, Chipper here, and now he's sort of found a home in Swallows, scoring goals. He's playing up front, which is not really his favorite position, but he's doing well. Do you think this is a sort of player that could create interest in one of the bigger teams?
Sean, to be honest, my friend, I've seen players creating interest with less what Hamildin has done.
Yeah.
So to be honest with you, is Hamildin is doing what he's supposed to do. Swallows is such a threat that big teams don't want to speak about it. They don't want to recognize that because it's scary. Mm. So for me, my friend, is Swallows, please continue. You bring in that excitement in South African football. Continue doing what you're doing. Because now at least every week we've got a different conversation. 4 years ago, you know what we spoke about. 3 teams, 4 teams. Same. The last 10 years has been the same teams.
Yeah.
You know, Swallows coming in from an old relationship, a new relationship, status up. Now they're performing, outperforming everybody. And what I like about Swallows is not just because they're winning, how they play.
Yeah.
They're playing football. Look, it's so nice to watch. Like, that's for me in the PSL. There's other, like Sean has said it in English, he'd rather watch a paint dry. For me, my friend, there's other teams in the PSL that I'll never even watch.
Yeah, there's some way where you turn to SuperSport and you're like,
let me put it this way, not teams, the systems or the type of play that they play. Yeah, like it's painful. Yeah. No, it's painful, Chief. It's like, you know, you've been waiting for your order for 2 hours and then when it finally comes, it's a wrong order. It's very painful.
Yeah.
You know, and for the fact that I still have to analyze all these teams, I need to work there, so I understand. But the other team, so that's what I'm saying. Swallows is such a beautiful team to watch.
You know, speaking of Hamaldin, I mean, it's great to watch a guy have such an incredible journey from the GLAAD Africa Championship to the DStv Premiership. You know what I'm saying? And another great way to take journeys is in a car.
Shocker. Ah, Slu, I see you. slick, Slu.
What's that right. Vroom vroom of the week?
This week is Matthew Rizika's Mercedes GT AMG. I don't know if you've seen this car. It's unbelievable. Anyway, the good of it is that it's one of the best driving sports cars currently on sale, and it does look the business. The bad, the gearbox is still in a very bizarre place. Visibility isn't the best, and it can get a little noisy. The bottom line of it is that the AMG GT was a hard act to top before its refresh, and now it's even harder to recommend anything else. The GT has some interesting competition, being the Porsche 911 and the Jag F-Type. The GT still shines brightly though. It's perfectly suitable for daily use, but it only truly comes into its own once the car has room to stretch its metaphorical legs. It's an absolute riot of a sports car that feels worth every penny, and it's the latest updates making living with the GT even easier. For me, a 9.5 out of 10, between 2.2 and 2.8 million, depending on the specs. Damn.
Yeah, see, whole time when you were saying all the specs and stuff, I was just like, this is gonna be expensive.
Yeah, no, it's a beauty.
I want to dedicate this week's motivational quote of the week to the guys whose struggles we continue to talk about, the glamour boys themselves, Kaizer Chiefs. Sure, no, you gotta pump these boys up for the week.
Well, this one is from Stellenbosch's young striker Ashley Dupria. For all the doors that closed on me, I'm coming back to buy the building.
Yes, but now you see Chiefs are getting doors closed on them in Morocco. They have to go to a different country now. They can't even buy the building there.
That's ridiculous, bro. Unbelievable. Interesting times.
Well, this has been episode number 62 of The Car Wash. Whether you've been listening to us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, or Mahikeng 96.7 FM's Game Time, thank you very much for joining us. I have been your host, Slu Paho. That has been Mr. Sean Roberts.
Inkosibut.
And that has been Mr. Teko Modise.
And we may with that.
We'll see you same time, same place next week. Peace.
Today is a great day for car wash.
Yeah, sure. Car wash. This is the Car Wash on the SL Podcast. Sizohlangana khona.